Our scripture today is John 1, 14 through 18. The message is entitled, Glory, Grace, and Truth. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. It only has a slight variance from the New International Version, and I'll note that. Starting in the 14th verse. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And here the NIV says, one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The word of God for the people of God. Now, before I pray, I'm going to read the scriptures, the same scripture from the Amplified Bible for further explanation. What makes it amplified? It uses parenthetical expansion to enlarge our understanding. And the word Christ became flesh and lived among us, and we actually saw his glory. Glory as belongs to the one and only begotten Son of the Father, the Son who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, who is full of grace and truth, absolutely free of deception. John testified repeatedly about him and has cried out, testifying officially for the record with validity and relevance. This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I and has priority over me. He existed before me, even though we know he was born 6 months after. Right? For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, which is the unearned and undeserved favor of God, and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God, his essence, his divine nature, at any time. The one and only begotten, that is the unique Son, who is in the intimate presence of the Father, he has explained him and interpreted and revealed the awesome wonder of the Father. Let us pray. Good Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired, inerrant word. Sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, and it always accomplishes the purpose for which you send it out. Lord, we ask for an anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. As I know that I was guided this week, I pray that you continue to guide me now, and that hearts and minds would be receptive to what you desire to reveal of yourself. Lord, we thank you for the blessing of your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's suppose that your neighbor is ill. And suppose that you have the cure for their illness. If you withhold the cure from them, are you guilty of their death? My brothers and sisters, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have the cure for every sin-sick soul on this planet. We have the Lord Jesus, full of grace and truth. Will you share him? Now, many people in our culture mistake Christianity for myth or some type of morality cult. God's guidance for us, as recorded in our Holy Scriptures, are a means of grace. They contain truth. They contain the good news of a Messiah, the Son of God, who became flesh and lived among us. Many in our culture understand our God to be a judge filled with wrath. And many that profess to be followers of Jesus err in the opposite direction, mistakenly seeing only a grandfatherly God. Jesus came because we need a Savior. Paul writes to young Titus, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, his second coming, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." Yes, Jesus is the greatest grace that could be given. The radiance of the Son of God shines brightly as Shekinah glory. And as the moon reflects the light of the sun, we are to reflect the light of the sun, who is the true light that brings life into the world. Yes, Jesus is the greatest grace that could be given. Charles Wesley wrote the hymn, "And can it be that I should gain? And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?" Now, do not read today's scripture as if it diminishes the law given through Moses. God's demands for righteousness, he had a demand for righteousness before the law was even given. And that's evident by the great flood, when the only righteous Noah and his family were saved, and all others perished. By giving the law, there was grace in it. Paul tells us that the law acts as a mirror so that we can see our great need of a Savior. He also called the law a schoolmaster. It's able to teach us the heart and mind of God. And you have often heard that Jesus did not come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. And I tell you that the law is fulfilled in mercy, grace, and truth. Moses was a type of Christ. He foreshadowed the Lord Jesus. Moses was an instrument of salvation. Now, I considered sharing the whole story of the Exodus because it overflows with God's grace. Yahweh, the great I Am, heard the cry of the people. He delivered them from slavery in Egypt, and he brought them into the promised land. Jesus says in John chapter 5, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." Jesus was referring to several scriptures and types depicted in the Old Testament. For instance, in Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him." This is Moses speaking. Then in the New Testament, we read, "Philip found Nathanael and told him, 'We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Peter preached in Acts, "For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything He tells you. The first martyr, Stephen, before he was stoned to death, preached. This is that Moses who told the Israelites, God will send you a prophet like me from your own people. There is a unity in the Bible. There is a continuity in the Bible. We just heard a Bible Hall of Fame's unanimous testimony about the connection between the salvation of God's chosen people and the salvation of all people. For several days, I wrestled with how to demonstrate the unchanging heart of God, our Jesus, and the fullness of grace and truth, grace upon grace, and blessing upon blessing. And that lesson comes from the Exodus account. Moses, led by Yahweh, has brought the people to Mount Sinai. The Lord gave Moses the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments inscribed by the finger of God. In Moses' absence from the people, they become anxious. And as you all know, they construct the golden calf, and they worship and revel around it. The Lord was going to destroy them, but Moses intercedes, and the Lord relented. And yet, in God's righteous anger, he sends a plague of punishment upon the Israelites. And he commands Moses to lead the people into the promised land, but says that he will not accompany them. If the Lord went with them, he said, their stubbornness, their stiff-necked, and that stubbornness would cause me to destroy them. Moses goes into the tent of meeting because he's going to plead with the Lord God. Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, Lord, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor. The King James says, continue to find grace. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you were pleased or have found favor and grace with me and your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? And what distinguishes us? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you. I have found favor and grace with you, and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. And then the Lord said, there was a place near me where you may stand on a rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen. Surely, you can see the many connections with the Gospel of John. The presence of God is a major element in both. The glory of God is central to both, as is God's goodness, his grace. Knowing God, the name of God, his character, his authority, his fullness, and seeing God's face are key in each scripture. Now let us explore them, those connections, more deeply. What a great blessing is the presence of God in our personal lives and in the communion of saints, which we are. It is God's presence that distinguishes the people of God from others. In God's grace, he actually became a human being and lived among us. He was human in every way, eating, sleeping, and praying. Jesus was tempted in all the ways the same as we are, and yet he remained without sin. Jesus walked like us. Jesus wept like us. He bled real human blood. And he died like every one of us will. Through the valley of the shadow of death, the good shepherd is with us. Jesus told us that wherever two or three are gathered, he is there amongst us. We are also connected to Jesus, who is the head over us, the body of Christ, the church. And before Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he promised, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God has said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." And perhaps the biggest blessing of all is that each and every believer is the temple of God the Holy Spirit. Can you see the huge advantage that we have over the people of Moses' day? Are we amazed at what God has done for us? I can see that many of you aren't amazed. Maybe the heat's up too hot. Moses asked Yahweh, the Lord God, to show him his glory. The Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible says, "God's glory refers primarily to his majestic beauty and splendor and the recognition of it by mankind. However, it is also an ethical concept that embraces God's holiness." And the Bible gives many different ways God's glory is conveyed. The glory of the Lord is often manifested it's a manifestation of his presence with images of light or fire. The Messiah is described in Isaiah 11. "In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious." In Hebrews 1, verse 3, "The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven." In response to Moses' request to see God's glory, the Lord says, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you." So the Lord is saying that God's goodness is God's glory. What a precious revelation that is. God's goodness is God's glory. In order for Moses to see the Lord's glory, God places him near himself on a rock. And throughout Scripture, a rock is a metaphor for God. And Paul refers to Moses leading the Israelites through the wilderness in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. To protect Moses during the manifestation of the Lord's presence, his glory, Moses was placed in a cleft in that rock. Think about that powerful image. Because we are alive in Christ, we are loved, forgiven, chosen, and we are new creations. We can experience God. We can experience the Lord Jesus in the fullness of grace and truth. God places his hand over us, and nothing can take us from his protective shield. While Moses was allowed to only see God's back, we have seen God and God's glory. How so? We have seen Jesus, and because we have seen the Son, we have seen the Father, for he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, first place over all creation. The Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon, preached, "With sin begins and ends the whole story of man. But where good appears, there grace begins," or rather, "the grace began before the good. For every good desire, for every holy thought, for every well-spoken word, for every deed of daring, for every act of self-sacrifice, let Christ be honored, for everything hath come of him. If there be any virtue, any praise, anything that is lovely or that is good, go and cast it at his feet, for it from him it all came. He sowed the seed out of which it grew. He created the nature in us of these good things that sprung up. Oh, what must the fullness be from which all the saints received all that they have." The Duchess of Gordon and a companion were visiting at a cottage in Scotland when a peddler came in and threw down his pack, and he asked for a drink of water. The woman of the house handed the water to him and said, "Do you know anything of the water of life?" Referring to the Lord Jesus, of course. And he said, "By the grace of God, I do." And he drank the water, and then he said, "Let us pray." And this was his prayer: "Oh Lord, give us grace to feel our need of grace. Oh Lord, give us grace to receive grace. Oh Lord, give us grace to ask for grace. Oh Lord, give us grace to use the grace when grace is given." He then picked up his pack and went away, having preached a powerful sermon in a few words. And maybe that's what you think I should have started with and ended with today. Now, there was a church that was looking for a new pastor. One candidate seemed very promising, so they invited the pastor to meet with the search committee. And after several preliminary questions, they asked the candidate, "What can be done so that their church might grow?" I've heard that a few times myself. Their prospective pastor replied, "There has to be something at the church that the people are excited to talk about." You may be surprised that I agree 100%. But that something is the Lord Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. Pastor Emmanuel Sibomana, I apologize if I mispronounce his name, he wrote, "Oh, the grace of God amazes me. It loosed me from my bonds and set me free. What make it happen? What made it happen so? His own will, this much I know, set me, as now I show, at liberty." Are you amazed at the grace of God? Are you thankful for what the Lord Jesus has done for you? Tell someone about Jesus. Throw them the life ring that may save their eternal life. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Most holy and blessed Father, we thank you for all that you have done. And Lord, we repent of all the times that we failed to show our gratitude. We know that your word tells us every good gift comes from you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. May we be given the capacity to comprehend all that's been accomplished by Jesus on our behalf. and let that stir in us, either for the first time or as a matter of renewal, a deep desire to share this gift. Lord, sometimes it's easy to get excited about things in the material world and forget all the mighty things you've done for us. Let us always be prepared for the reason of our faith, the goodness and grace, the truth of God. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Amen.